Welcome to another episode of Romance Romp. I'm your host, Keeney, and today I have Rayanne Thane with me. Again, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to speak with you.
Oh, thanks. So I was looking at your website, and your tagline is, or the kind of header on there, is Stories of Hope, Healing, and Heart. So I think that that speaks a lot to kind of romance in general, and then obviously your books, but I just wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
Right. And what I have to say about that is that I really realized probably about 20 books into my career that all of my books had a central theme to them that is that each of the characters are learning how to take care of each other in some way and how to take care of others. They came from difficult backgrounds or whatever that we create for our heroes and heroines. But I realized that that seemed to be the through line through all of my stories. And so it just really, it's important to me to show characters who have dealt with tough things in their lives, but have learned, you know, not to close themselves off completely to love, and have learned that even when you're dealing with hard things, life can still be rich and beautiful and wonderful.
Sure. Yeah. And I agree with that. And I would say that, you know, to people outside of the romance genre and that don't read it and don't really understand it, they have this misconception that all of it is really built in some sort of like fantasy world. And absolutely, it is on some level like a fantasy and escape from the things that we have going on in our own lives. But also, there are many, many romance books that deal with like real life issues and things that people have to overcome. And it's not just the woman gets swept away and, you know, all of this. Like real things are happening.
That's absolutely right. And especially the books in the contemporary genre, you know, you have to address issues that readers today are dealing with as well, you know. And when I created my first small town series that was came out in single title, Hope's Crossing, people would say to me, you know, it's a small town. It's not this sweet, wonderful small town where everything is rosy and perfect. And because it wasn't, I had deep tragedies that went on in that series. And they would ask me why I chose to take my series in that direction. And it was because, you know, I live in a small town, and yet I can walk through my neighborhood and point to every house, and there's some tragedy or some difficulty that people are dealing with in every single house in the neighborhood. And so it was really important for me to show not this idyllic small town where everything's perfect and you know, the children are beautiful and, you know, just like the Garrison Keillor would say.
Right.
You know? But that, you know, people struggle, and I see that as well. You know, as my readers know, I'm a caregiver. I have a son who's severely disabled. And so I'm a caregiver. We have tough things that we deal with, and yet our life is beautiful. And I just really wanted to portray that in my books. I think I've tried, you know, there's different things that people deal with, divorces and children, you know, who have struggle and things like that. But I really think the through line, again, in all of my stories is that life is beautiful and there's hope. And if, as long as we're kind to each other and we're trying to make the world a better place, we can make progress, even if it's just in our small community.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
Thank you.
So also when I was looking at your site, I see that you're the author of over 50 books.
Yes.
And which is fantastic. And at one point somewhere on the website, it says that your books account for like over 4 million in print. Which that's amazing also, but like for you as an author, like what does that feel like to know that you have 50 some books, millions of print copies? Like, I don't know, just what does that feel like?
Sometimes it's really overwhelming, and I don't focus on that. I focus on just the story that I'm working on right now, or the story that I'm trying to get out there right now. But sometimes it does kind of, I have to pinch myself and think, is this really my life that people want to read my books? And I laugh about it because I've wanted to write romance novels since I was a teenager. I started reading them probably way too young. I would sneak them out of my mom's closet when I was about 11 or 12, which now as a parent, I think, oh, that was way too young to be reading those books. But, you know, I've wanted to be a romance writer since I was like 18, and I dreamed of writing a romance novel at that time. I ended up going into journalism, but still I had this idea of writing a romance novel. You know, I just never, conceived of the idea that at some point I would have written. It's now 56. I finished my 56th last month, and I just it's really heartwarming to me that people have responded to my books and continue to want them. I apparently because they're still buying them. So I think it's
Yeah.
cool. It really and it's really I don't know quite the words here, but to me it just seems like people have really started to respond to this message that I've been trying to write about, because I think there's a lot of ugliness in the world right now, and there's a lot of fear. And so people are drawn to places where people are learning to take care of each other. And I hope it sets an example. And I really have seen in my neighborhood, you know, I have a wonderful friend who has just been amazingly supportive. And one person has changed the whole tone of the neighborhood. Everyone knows each other. You know, she has family or she has neighborhood parties and things like that, because she is such an example to me. You know, everybody wants to help everybody else, and I hope that my readers kind of get that message that you can make a difference in your community, and you can make the world a little better place, and you can find love and hope and a great happy ending for yourself as well.
Sure. Right. And I'm pretty active on Twitter, especially in regards to like books. And I mean, that's the core of it, I think, in romance, is that we as readers, we want to read a good story. You know, it can be historical, it can be contemporary, anywhere in between, with a lot of different, you know, it's all very different what you're going to get. But at the core of it, it's a love story. And at the end, I want to know that the two main characters are in love, and they've overcome all the things, and they're going to keep and feel like they're going to keep overcoming all the things, and they're going to be happy. You know, and it doesn't always have to be perfect, because, you know, I think in real life, love is never perfect. It's always messy. You know, even the best kind of love is messy. And you know, so I like I think because of the world right now, there's just a lot of things going on, and a lot of things feel uncertain and unstable. And to be able to open a book and know that in this book, these are the things that I'm going to get, and it's going to feel good to me at the end. I love it.
I absolutely agree, and that seems to be the biggest response I get from readers when I've asked, you know, why do you read romance novels? And that's generally the response, is because I know that no matter what else I have going on in my life, this is going to be a place that something good is going to happen. And I've loved that response that I have gotten from readers as well, who said, you know, I see the example that from your characters, and maybe that will help me get through the problems that I'm going with right now. And so it is, there's something so life affirming about romance novels that you can't get in other genres. I'm sorry, but you just can't.
No, I agree. And you know, when I really got into reading romance, I was like, you know, this just makes me feel so much better than other books. So I'm just gonna keep reading romance. And I haven't really looked. I mean, occasionally I read some other types of books, but you know, I read 90% of the books I read are romance.
I think
And
that's about the same for me as well. And I have such a better feeling when I finish one of those than the others.
You know, so it's great. So a lot of your books, they seem to focus around kind of like the small town romance. So why does that type of setup, if you will, appeal to you as an author? I mean, because there's so many other things, historical or even contemporary, but just not small town. So what is it about small town?
Probably my life experience for one thing. You know, as I said, I live in a small town, but it's not a perfect town by any stretch. But the possibilities for stories are so rampant, I think, in small towns. And not only that, but I love connected stories. I've done quite a few stories that are connected, mostly because I hate saying goodbye to the characters at the end of a book. You know, if I were just writing a standalone book, I wouldn't get to visit with those people again and see how things are progressing in their life. And so I like the idea of being able to bring them back, you know, 5 books down the road and say, oh, they had a baby or whatever is going on in their life. And so they do feel like, by the time I finish a book, the characters feel like friends, and it's hard to say, I'm not going to bring you back into a book ever again, because, you know, I'm done with that. But I, again, because of my own life experience, having lived in a small town, and I have seen the just the caring that can take place in a place, you know, where people really do reach out for each other and bring dinners. And, you know, with our son, when he was born almost 20 years ago, you know, we really saw the value of neighbors and people who can care. We had, in his whole 20 years of life, we couldn't have done it without this village that we live in, you know, mm-hmm. people that come over and bring dinner when he's getting out of the hospital and things like that. And so my life experience is that there are places in the world that are as idyllic as my towns, even though there's hard, there are still wonderful people in the world. And I like to show that. And not to say that big city, they're not in big cities, because, you know, there, some of my favorite series personally are series set in big cities. I love Sarah Morgan's books, contemporary books that are mm-hmm. set in Manhattan. And yet there's a small town feel there as well, because she's built this community. And I think that's
right.
more important than the size of the town, is just the ability to show community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I like that. And most readers that I've talked to, you know, there's a lot of goodness in small town, especially because it does build that series and you get to go back and look at other characters.
Right.
And it you know, it continues with that kind of feel good thing.
Well, and also, if I could add, we're tribal as a people. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's what we are. We seek tribes. We seek people who connect with us on certain levels. And so the chance to show that on a larger scale in a romance novel is important to me. And, you know, it's there's just something so engaging. Also, romance is important to me. Obviously, I write romance novels, but I love the opportunity to show the interaction between friends and the interaction mm-hmm. between, you know, other people in the community who might be struggling, and yet to show how people have reached out to support those people in their trials.
Yeah, and I think that's always a struggle that I see sometimes as a reader in my books, is that, you know, I don't want the hero and heroine or the main characters to live like in a bubble.
Right.
And it's kind of weird sometimes when they don't have any friends.
Right.
Or there's no one else involved. I mean, it really depends on the story. And occasionally, you know, somebody can get away with it and it works really well. But most of the time, I'm like, why doesn't this heroine have any friends to talk to? Or, you know, people in her life that she interacts with, or same with him. And there's nothing I adore more in a book than when either of the two main characters have really, really strong friendships
right.
with other people.
Because shows who they are. That shows their character.
Right.
And you can't, there's what is there in you to love if you are someone who shuts off people in all areas of your life? You know, you're just not open to it. And so I agree. Absolutely. That always freaks me out right. a little when you have these heroines who don't have close friendships. And I just think,
right, right. Close and strong friendships. And so I really like that. You know, I started off reading romance, and I read a lot of Susan Mallory, her Fool's Gold series, which right. a small town romance, and, you know, they're all interconnected. And then I kind of branched out in some other things and I mean, I will say for myself as a reader, small town kind of got moved to the back burner, mm-hmm. You know, but I think right now the genre is kind of overflowing with things like billionaires and like the extreme alphas, and even like new adult. And so for me, like I find myself going back to more books that have that small town kind of feel, because all that other stuff, I mean, it's kind of fun and interesting to read a few books, but then after a while I'm like, none of this has any basis in my real life. Like, so it becomes harder to connect with what's happening in those stories of like billionaire. I'm never going to meet a billionaire.
Right. Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Right. But small town, like, you know, these are kind of, I wouldn't say they're all blue collar, but they're more the quote unquote regular type of person.
I agree. I agree with that. And I also think that, you know, as we've become more isolated by technology, sort mm-hmm. of, you know, we're
yeah.
devices, and we think we're part of this social community, but there's still part of us that yearns for that actual community of, you know, being able to go out on your front porch and wave to your neighbor as they drive by and things like that, you know, where the actual face-to-face interaction, I think we're hungry for that. And so I think that's another reason why these sorts of books are appealing, because they're just something so comforting about the idea of of that sort of community. And I've had a reviewer one time who called my books comfort reads, and I absolutely love that. I embrace that completely. And I think she was saying it in a positive way. And some people may think, may not have had the same positive reaction to that I do, but I think that's a perfect encapsulation of what I'm trying to write in my books. They're comfort reads. They're something you go to when you're looking for something that's going to make you feel better about the world and that there are
Sure.
good people out there and that there's hope and for a brighter future for our world right now.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. So, you are a finalist in this year's Romance Writers of America Reader Contest for Snowfall at Haven Point.
I am, yes.
So, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And that's coming up in late July, correct? The
Yes.
awards for that.
In Orlando, and there's a big book signing. If
Ooh.
anybody's in that,
In
come to
that area.
the
Yeah. So, is this the first time that you've been nominated for a Rita?
No, this is actually my seventh nomination,
Okay.
Rita. So I've been around the block a few times. I haven't won yet. I'm still holding out for that trophy, but it's honestly, and I know it sounds cliche when people say it's an honor to be nominated, but it really is because, the fact that it's chosen by my peers means a great deal to me. And the fact that, that they've chosen seven times to put my books in the finalist circle is really a great honor to me.
Have you seen that documentary? I think it's called Love Between the Sheets.
I have seen snippets of it, but I haven't had a chance to watch the entire thing yet.
It's really good if you ever get a chance to sit down and watch. It's like 2 hours, but it's really good. But I'm pretty sure in that it was Eloisa James who said like she gets nominated all the time. And again, just talked about how what a pleasure and what an honor it is just to be nominated. And if I remember correctly, that year she may have won. So,
Yeah, she did win, and I was there that year, and it was wonderful. She brought a little chocolate, Rita, that they gave at the tables, like first year she was nominated, and she's carried it every time she was nominated. She carried it to the conference with her, this little chocolate, Rita. So it was really funny. She pulled it out of her handbag and had the little chocolate, Rita, and then the real big Rita, which is
Oh,
really
that's
exciting.
awesome.
I have
Yeah, that
a little
is.
chocolate, Rita, and I might take it this year. Just, maybe it'll be good luck for me.
Maybe that'll be good luck. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, that seems like such an honor to be nominated. And again, because it's, by your peers. And so what greater, acknowledgement of how hard you've worked than your peers to say that you've done a good job. So
Absolutely. It means a great deal to me.
you have a new book that's coming out. It's being published on June 27th.
Yes, Serenity
Called
Harbor is the
Right.
title of the book. And it's book, I want to say, I think it's book five in Haven Point. Might be book
Okay.
six, I can't remember exactly. But it features a woman who has appeared in the previous book sort of as a very secondary character. And I was really excited to write her story. Katrina Bailey is her name. And she's the younger sister of previous main characters in other books. In fact, Snowfall in Haven Point was about her brother. And so
Okay.
I'm excited to tell her story. She's had quite an interesting journey in the last year or so. And so it's kind of been really, it was really fun to explore her journey and where she's been and what's happening with her.
That's great and it seems exciting. So one thing that I noticed when I was kind of looking at your other books in this series is you have a few of the heroes that are involved in the tech industry. So why the tech industry?
That was sort of not necessarily accidental, but the first book was about a character named Aidan Kane, who it was a spin-off series to my Hope's Crossing series that I referred to earlier when we were speaking. And I had set him up just as that he was a tech guy and he lived on the West Coast, and I hadn't really he was it was one of those characters I hadn't really fully developed as I was writing that previous series. I only knew that he had a very successful tech company. And so when I started, I wanted to write a spin-off series set somewhere else and create a new community. And it sort of made sense that he would be the one member of this family that I'd already written about in the previous series, who I hadn't written his story yet, and people were asking me to write his story. So it kind of made sense to start out with him moving to this other community. And because he was a tech guy, other tech guys kind of followed, and so that was sort of the reason there. But I think there's something so I think it's very sexy when people are smart and can do amazing things. I find that very admirable, but it also creates interesting characters because, on a totally stereotypical level, they're not always the most socially adept people, or they like their own, space a lot of times because they have to create like that. I think in a lot of ways, tech people are a lot like creative people, like writers, because we're sort of introverts lots of times and spend most of our time by ourselves and, writing, and they spend a lot of time by themselves coding and things like that. And so there's a lot of fun ways I could take his character. And so because he was a tech guy, I also brought in a friend of his who was a tech guy as well. And now the hero of this story, Serenity Harbor, is also a tech guy because they moved their operations to this small town. So it made sense that that's kind of, it brought new blood into the community and new people that the people who lived there hadn't met before. So a lot of possibilities for potential relationships and potential stories.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So in this book, the hero Bo, he goes by Bo, his little brother Milo has autism.
Yes, that is true.
Right. So, and I think we kind of touched on it a little bit though earlier too, but then, so something like autism or any sort of disabilities, like how do you really write them, keeping it? I know probably from your own personal experience, because you mentioned, I saw on your website, one of your middle son has special needs, but so how do you really focus on keeping that honest and not just like a plot device? Because I've seen that in books where they enter a child or a disability or something like that, or a child with disabilities, and it becomes like plot mop, or yeah, like a plot moppet, you know, it's just there.
Well, it is important to me to show, again, going back to the same theme before, but that people who have disabilities can have rich and wonderful lives as well. And I wanted to show a character who hadn't had a very good upbringing. The backstory of the hero of this is that he didn't have a good childhood. His mother was quite flaky, I guess that's a good word for it. But and he didn't even know he had this brother, and his mother had him quite a few years after the hero was born. And so he didn't even know he had this brother. He'd cut off connection with his mother. She used, drugs and things like that. And so I just wanted to show this young boy who hadn't had much support, like early intervention or any of the things that they do with children who have disabilities. And yet that he can sort of start to come out of his shell, just like the hero sort of learned to love him. This boy learned to accept people loving him, I guess, is the way I wanted to put it. And I do agree that there are books where people use that as a plot device, but I do think I bring some authenticity there just because it's a huge part of my life. I'm a caregiver far earlier than I'm a author. That's a more important role to me in my life than the author. Obviously, it's important to me to be an author, and I think I've done a fairly good job of juggling both, but my son always comes first and his needs always first because I'm his primary caregiver. I'm the one who's with him all the time, and that's sort of the underlying theme of my life, is that I take care of him. And so that, and I may turn to that just because I have that experience and I know what it's like. We know a lot of kids who are autistic. I also have a son with ADHD, so I've dealt with that in our life as well. And so I do tend, I don't think I use it a lot, but I have used it before, similar things with children or with adults who struggle with disabilities as well. I've used that before because it's a population that doesn't receive, I think, the understanding that it needs, that these are people first and he's a child first. And I really tried to stress that in the book. He's a child and he has the same needs as other children, and he does have disabilities as well, but that's not the core of who he is.
Right, that doesn't define him.
Right.
And I will say that one thing also that I've really liked about romance is on many levels, it has helped me to broaden my own horizons. You know, in my day-to-day life, you know, I don't always have the opportunity to interact with people who are different than me, whether that be they're older, they're younger, they have different types of jobs, they have different kind of backgrounds. You know, I don't have any immediate contact with somebody who has autism or disabilities or, you know, all sorts of types of things. So, you know, by reading romance, again, it's not always 100% true because it is fiction, but it has helped me to know that there are other people out there, other types of people struggling with, you know, these types of things. And so I have had a better appreciation and understanding for many, many things.
Right.
You know, and the same thing can be said for people who watch a lot of TV or movies. I mean, you know, because it is fiction and it is an escape, but I think that it also, you know, does serve a purpose to, you know, not necessarily educate, but just kind of broaden our horizons on lots of different things.
Wow, that's an excellent point. And the difference, I would say, between movies and books is that it's more immersive experience with a book. You're there inside mm-hmm. your head, you know, whereas by its nature, a movie, you can certainly glimpse what, you know, in a well-acted movie, you can glimpse what's going on in the character's head, but you're not right there reading their thoughts and knowing mm-hmm. you know what exactly what they're dealing with. And so I think that is the difference, and that's a great point. And that's one of the things I love as well as a reader. I love being someone else every time I pick up a book, you know, mm-hmm. immersing myself in who that character is and having the opportunity to be, you know, a Regency lady and for a little while and or to be a cowgirl or whatever it is I feel like exploring that day. I can do that
in right.
books. It is a wonderful journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know this is coming out in June, and then you have another book later out this year in the same Haven Point series, correct?
Yes, I do. So this one is actually out in 2 weeks. Serenity Harbor okay. comes out in 2 weeks. And then after that, it is, my mind is blanking. Let's see. What did we come up with for the final title? Sorry. Sugar Pine Trail. Sorry about that. The main character there was Julia Winston, who was a librarian in town, and also a very favorite character of my readers, Aidan Kane, who readers have been asking for his story for years and years. Jamie Kane, brother to Aidan. I introduced him originally in my Hope's Crossing series, and people have been wanting me to write his story for a long time. So, I mean, I was so excited to do that. I love the way the book turned out. I don't think I've ever written a character that so many readers have begged me to write his story. So mm-hmm. it was really fun. Excuse yeah. me. And I think I found a good heroine for him.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, there's always, you know, that feeling when you're reading and there's like a secondary or even like, you know, not even secondary character that's so intriguing. And you're just like waiting for his or her book to show up. So I'm sure your readers will love that. So for you as a reader, from your reader perspective, are there any books that you're really excited to read this year that will be released? Or
there are some great ones coming out. My good friend Jill Chavez has her first women's fiction coming out just next week. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
It's called Lost and Found Sisters, and I'm really excited for that. I've actually read the book. I was lucky enough to get an advance copy, and it's fabulous. And so I'm excited for that. Mostly I read historicals, so some of my favorite historical authors have some books coming out toward later in the year. You know, I'm a big fan of Eloisa James. You mentioned her. I love her books. Mm-hmm. There are many, many others that I love. And so I'm really excited for some historicals to come out. Right now I'm kind of rereading some books, some series. Sorry, bumped my microphone there. Rereading some series that I've enjoyed. Mary Bellog, she's one of my favorites, and I love her books. And Carla Kelly, I'm a big favorite of her, or big fan of hers as well. So I can't think of any specifics that I've seen coming out, but I go and pre-order every time. It's a lot of pre-orders, and it's always such a great surprise to me when Kindle says this book is available, and it's a day when I get those books.
Those are always great emails.
I forgot that was coming out. Oh, I can't wait. I know what I'm going to be doing all day today.
So you read a lot of historical fiction or romance fiction, but have you ever thought about writing historical romance?
I've had people ask me that. My publishers asked me that before, and I would have to say probably not. It's I think that if I started writing them, it wouldn't be as much of an escape to me as it is now, and I need that escape sometimes. And so if I were writing it, I would be more analyzing what they did. And I do that when I read contemporary sometimes. You know, it's not quite the same escape, probably because I write contemporary. I still love them, and I still have some fabulous authors that I absolutely adore, Kristen Higgins, and like I said, Jill Shavus and Susan Mallory. I love Susan as well. But I think I need that sort of distance between what I read and what I write, just for my own sanity and my own reading pleasure. I think, you know,
No.
maybe someday, I never say never because, you know, maybe someday, but those aren't the stories that come to me when I'm looking for ideas. It's not historical stories.
No, I totally understand. And I mean, I say this a lot, but I think that one of the things that's also fantastic about romance is that there's so many different types of romance out there that, you know, if you're really, if for you, since you really love historical romance, there's no shortage of them. There's no,
Absolutely.
yeah, there's no shortage of contemporary or small town or alphas or billionaires or whatever it is.
Whatever you're
It
into, you can find it. And I tell that to readers as well. And I also love that there's such a wide variety of books. And even in the contemporary genre, which I write, you know, you can run the gamut from my books are fairly sweet on the spectrum, and you can find super sexy books, and you can find anything in between there. So whatever your tastes are, you can find it in the romance industry.
Right, absolutely. And I think that's one of the, you know, the absolute best things about it. And the things that I like don't have to be the things that you like.
Right.
You know, we're just here to, we as the community are just here because we love these, the, you know, the central core of it, the love and the happy ever after. And, you know, however it fills that,
Right.
you know, that's great.
Right.
Yeah. So I also saw on your site that you do beading. Are you still doing a lot of beading?
Actually am. You can probably see it in the background of the picture.
Oh.
I make beaded bookmarks, and it's really funny because I'd never that was never an escape of mine until I had the idea to write a series set in a bead store. And I, of course, I had to research to do it. And so now my office is totally consumed with beading. This is my office at home where I have better Wi-Fi, and I actually have a writing office that I go to where I don't have any beads over there because it would distract me all day long. But I love it. To me, I think every writer needs a creative output that is or outlet that is not writing, because writing is hard work, like it or not. I mean, it's hard work, and it's emotionally draining, and it's physically draining. And I love being able to have something creative. I'm still, you know, being a maker of something, and yet I don't have to think about it as hard as I do when I write. And it's amazing to me if I'm stuck in a book. There's two things I do. I either go walking in the mountains near where I live, because I'm lucky enough to live close to the mountains, or I sit and bead. And usually the answer to my problem comes to me as I'm doing something different. And so beading is really an escape to me. And I love that I make these bookmarks that have my brand on them. Sorry, I'm getting ready for a big book signing, so I've got lots of them in the background there. But it just has my name, and then it says Hope, Healing, and Heart on it. And then I just make the little charms on the end, and my readers love them. I give them away on Facebook when I do giveaways, and readers love them, so it's been lots of fun.
That's awesome. And it must kind of have that similar feeling that when you write a book, right? You know, like I've been really, I recently have really, I knit, and so I've been trying to do a lot better about knitting, but understanding that when I make something, I give it to somebody and they're not obligated to like
Right, that's
it.
true. That's a very good metaphor for writing, because I write, I do my best, I get it out there, but nobody's obligated to love it. I hope they do, but you know, but
Right. And
the
that's
creative
the thing,
process.
like,
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off,
oh no, that's the
but.
thing. Right. It's like it's hard to say, like, I've put all this work into this thing, whatever the thing is, this creative thing, and turn it out into the wild and say, you know, they're not obligated to like it, but you know, I hope that they do.
Right,
But
and there's value in the creative process itself, because if I think even if I if I didn't give away all the bookmarks, I would still be beading because I love it. I love the feel of the beads in my hands and the texture. I love bead shopping like nothing else. It's so fun. I'm sure it's similar with knitting. I've never been able to knit. I've never quite had the skill for that, but you know, the shopping for yarn is half the fun, I think.
Right, it is.
And it's the same with me, the shopping for beads and envisioning, you know, what I could do with that. And I love it. I love everything about it. And I make a big mess in my office here with my beads. But I vacuumed it up the other day and it was all little lots of clicking in my vacuum as little beads got vacuumed up.
That's funny. You know, but I mean, it just always goes back to that thing about like if it's making you happy and you feel good about it, like do your thing, you know, whatever your thing is. And you know, that's I think how we reaffirm ourselves. And sometimes, you know, it's a good time to kind of like reflect on the things that are running through your head. And you're like, oh, like you said, you know, if you're having a problem coming up with an idea for a story, if you go work on your beading or walking, it kind of changes your perspective of how you're thinking. And then, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you could carry that through to readers. You know, there's no reason to be ashamed of whatever you read, whatever you like to read. If it makes you happy and it brings joy to your life and fulfillment in your life, absolutely enjoy it, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, and I definitely think that, you know, within the last few years, there's been a shift, and, you know, romance readers are being, you know, they're instead of kind of hiding who we are and what we're reading, you know, we're much more vocal, I think, as a community about saying, like, here's who we are, and this is what we're doing. We are smart, intelligent women that have stories to share and want to read these stories that are being shared. And, you know, it's not this, like, you know, it's, I think that many times, you know, romance, it really gets a bad rap, but it's so much more than that. And, you know, there are books that are sweet, and you said yourself that you write more on the sweeter side, and then there's super sexy, you know, and there's everywhere in between. But it's like, this is making us happy, and it's a $1 billion industry.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there is a reason why it's a $1 billion industry, because people love the books and they need the books and they need books that give them hope and that give them that happy feeling when they close it. You know, I think that you're absolutely right. I think there's been a shift, and I think it's sort of the word that comes to my mind is empowerment. People have been more empowered about what they read and think, you know, I'm not going to let you make me feel bad for what I write or what I read, you know. And I do have to say, I started out, my first book came out in 96. So I've been in the industry for a long time, and I have seen that change, you know, from when I would have book signings and people would come over and say, well, what's the book about? And I would tell them, and they say, well, throw it back down on the table and say, I don't read that kind of book, you know. And I think anybody who's been in the industry for a while has had that experience, but I'm not sure that would be the same experience today. I think there's a more of a understanding and more of a tolerance, like you said, and then more of a, I guess, an acceptance that we're all individuals. We have our likes and dislikes, and I don't like the horror genre, but you know, somebody who reads horror genre, yay! You know, I'm glad that that fills something in you and you find something in that you enjoy.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. So, well, that was really all I had today.
All right.
But thank you so much for taking some time to chat with me. And the book was great, and I hope everybody picks it up, and I'll link to it. And good luck next month in Orlando. I'll be watching to see how that
Thank you
goes.
so much. Thanks. It was great
You're
to talk to
welcome.
you.
It was great talking to you, and enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.